you could understand the words, it's great. And they can really carry a tune, too. Beautiful singing from the smallest ones right on up. You know, that was a program that so impressed me, I thought it was good enough that we could charge for it. Don't get any ideas. You know, this may be one of the only Baptist churches in all the world where you can come to a service like this and not have a collection plate passed in front of you. One of the few. There's another one. We have a great program going on Friday night over at Pastor Coolis's in Lebanon. He doesn't pass a collection plate there either. So, you know, there are a few of us that are happy to minister unto you. And we also have programs on Sunday morning and a big one on Sunday evening. You're invited to be with us. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we pray that in these few moments that we have with the folks that are tired and youngsters who have performed and done so well, that there may be a few moments of attention to those things that are greatly important. We pray for those that don't know Thee as Savior, that they'd come to the Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever thought about what are the priorities of a church? Now, you youngsters, do you know what that means, priorities? Anybody? This is my only question for youngsters tonight. Yes, sir.
Just.
No. That is for some people. Jobs are a big priority for some people. Do you know what the word priority means? Anybody know what the word priority means? Go ahead. Tim, you want to try? Yeah, that's pretty much on target. The goals we have in our life. What are the goals? What are the priorities of your church? Do you know? You know, how would you figure out what should be the priority of a church? You know, do people in a church get together and make suggestions? You know, this is what our church ought to do. Or does Almighty God have a say in church's priorities? Did you ever think about that? If you're a believer, you believe what God says. If you're an unbeliever, you'll probably have your own ideas. I believe what God says. Jesus, the God of creation, according to Bible truth, stated, I will build my church. I believe that. Do you? I believe that it's His church, not mine. I can't build this church the way I think it should be built. I just can't. Because it's His church. In the epistles, in the New Testament, they're called the churches of God. They are not built on man's ideas. They're the churches of God. Now, isn't that a hard concept for many humans to swallow? Churches are not built on man's ideas, but on what God wants. You youngsters, you know, you haven't lived long enough to talk to a lot of people about God. But if you want to listen to someone who's been around a while, I can tell you this. Almost everyone that I talk to tells me what God is like. I can never remember anyone saying, you're a pastor. Do you know much about the Bible? Do you know what God thinks about me? I never heard anybody say that to me. Do you know what God thinks about me? People say, I think God. They don't say, I wonder what God thinks about me. People say, I think God is like Less than so. Now listen, youngsters. You enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. Don't think, you know, I want to grow up to be a mommy. I want to grow up to be a daddy so that I can boss kids around. You know, enjoy what you have now. See, you're thinking about Christmas presents now. Now, mommies and daddies, they're thinking about that too. But right after Christmas comes, then there are bills to pay for all that stuff that made everybody happy. But you know, there's something else that starts to happen as the year runs out and the first year, the months of the year begin. There is this IRS that wants an accounting about our money. They want to know how much money your employer paid you, how much Social Security you paid. They want to know how much money you get from other sources. They want to know if your rich uncle gave you some money. They want to know every dime a waitress gets in tips. They want to know if you inherited any money from your parents who worked hard to save. They want to know your Social Security number, and they want to know all your baby's Social Security number. You got to write them all down. And if you're in business for yourself, they want to know how many vehicles you have and what you paid for them and how many miles you drove for business. Now, they have not yet required a sample drop of your blood where you sign at the bottom of the page that all this is true according to the best of your knowledge. Youngsters, now, aren't you glad you're young? All you have to worry about is your next test and what presents you'll receive. You know, I kind of wish that we could be as illogical with the IRS as people are with God. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could stand around and say, you know, I think the IRS will love us even if we don't pay. You know, I think the IRS will understand if we don't file because, you know, it's the only time in a week we have to sleep. And I believe if we don't pay our taxes or file our taxes for the next 40 years, the IRS will just forgive us all if we say that we're sorry and we're sincere. If your friend told you that, would you rejoice and not file your taxes and not pay your taxes? Knowing you could say, I'm sorry I didn't pay my taxes, and be forgiven. Or would you read the tax form that comes in every year and follow the instructions? If your friend told you that God is love and he wouldn't send anyone to hell if you're sincere in your religion, would you believe him? Or would you check the Bible and see what God revealed to us in his communication to us? God's communication to us is the Bible. If your friend said, you don't have to file, you don't have to pay income taxes to the government, you don't have to pay property taxes to the town. Everybody has their own interpretation. As long as you're sincere, you don't have to go by the letter of the law. Would you believe him and not file? Wouldn't it be interesting if people use the same non-logic with the IRS they use with God? I'm not about to do that. And I hope you're not either. I believe Jesus is God, as he said he was. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said, I will build my church. I believe it's His church and that He sets the priorities for the church. And do you know what priorities He set? It's not hard to find. He gave His disciples instructions before He ascended in His body up into heaven. I'm going to read from Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What are the priorities? There they are. God gave them. First priority is He has all the power. Second priority, teach everyone everywhere to be saved. Third priority, baptize them after they're saved. Fourth priority, teach them everything that Jesus commanded. Those are the priorities. That's not to teach them to think that whatever they think God is like must be true because they think it. I trust that you can see teaching them is one of the church's priorities. Now, who is the head of the church? Think carefully about this. Who is the head of the church? It's not me. It's God the Son, Jesus. And He says, teach them. We do that here. We teach people how to be saved. And that's not all. We do some other teaching. I trust you could see that tonight. We teach the youngsters. The Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. We teach the youngsters. That's an important priority of a church. But the first priority is we believe that Jesus has the power, that He has all power. So that if we do what He tells us to do, He has the power to make it turn out right. And the first thing He tells us to do is to teach all nations, teach them how to be saved. That's why, at an event like this, salvation is preached. And an invitation is given for people to be saved. Because it's Jesus' priority for His church. You know, I've thought about that invitation that I give at the end for people to come forward publicly, get counsel from one of our knowledgeable personal workers who open the Bible and show what God says, showing the person how to be saved, how to have every sin forgiven, and then praying with that person. Do you know what I've thought about that invitation when I invite people to come and find out how to be saved? You know what I think about that invitation for a service like tonight? Humanly speaking, no grandma, no grandpa, nor mom, nor dad, nor uncle, or aunt would want to come down an aisle with all these little ones watching. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. If you're a parent, that means you better not offend your little children to give them any reason not to get saved. Here is Jesus in chapter 18 with grown disciples. And they ask him a question, and he takes a little one. I don't know whether little as these or littler than these or bigger than these. Takes a little one, sits him down. Right in the middle. And he says to those disciples, except ye, you big ones, except ye be converted. Wait a minute, I've known God all my life. He said, except you be converted. Nobody's known God all your life. If you think that, you better start reading the Bible and find out what God says. He said, except you be converted. Now, what do you have to do? Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It would really take humility for an adult to walk down that aisle. It would really take humility when a little one says, Daddy, are you saved? To say, no, I don't know that I am. It would really take humility for a little one to say, Grandma, are you saved? And she say, no, I don't know that I am. That would take humility to listen to the smallest little one ask us that question and respond honestly. You would have to be humble to come down this aisle and respond to an invitation. But that's what Jesus said, isn't it? No, it's not how you interpret it. You want to try to pull that one? Whosoever therefore shall humble himself. How do you interpret that? As this little child. There's no interpretation there, is it? You just believe it. The same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's clear enough. Jesus gave his church priorities. Number one, believe in his power. He is all powerful. Number two, teach the people how to be saved. That's why I teach it now. This idea is they should not lie and call themselves a Christian church. Number one, you must humble yourself as a little child. Believe that you are a sinner before a holy God. If you're going to be saved, that's the first thing you've got to do. Just believe you are a sinner before a holy God. Humble yourself to say, yes, I am a sinner before a holy God. I haven't known God all my life. I'm not sinless. God's not sitting up in heaven just looking down at me and say, oh, what a wonderful specimen. I just can't wait to bring him up to heaven. No, I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to believe that. And then you must believe that you are lost in your sins and bound for hell. Let me read this very important verse to you. From the end of the Bible. It's in Revelation chapter 21. This is what God says in Revelation chapter 21. You heard the youngsters go through the Bible tonight, didn't you? That was impressive. A verse out of every one of the 66 books of the Bible. Revelation 21. 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're going to be saved, you need to believe that this is true. Their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You have to reject all the false doctrine that there's no hell, or the false doctrine that a God of love wouldn't send anybody to hell. You need to reject that and believe what it says here. But the fearful. Are you fearful what your friends would say if you got saved? If you are, you're going to have your part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Or the unbelieving. So I don't believe it. I don't believe that's how it is. The Word of God says that their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The abominable and the idolaters. You know what that is? Idolaters, that's false religion. They are going to have hell too. Whoremongers, sex sins, and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. If you believe that verse and you don't want to end up there, I can tell you the greatest thing in all the world. You know what it is? It's on the next page. Revelation 22:16. Listen to this. If you'll believe that verse about ending up in the fire and brimstone, listen to what God says in almost the last verses of the Bible. Revelation 22:16-17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Where do you say, where are you going to get it? In the churches. He didn't say in the woods. He said in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. How do you get saved? You believe that you're lost and bound for hell. And when you believe you're lost and bound for hell, you also believe the invitation in the Bible that says, whosoever will, you can take the water of life that will give you everlasting life. You can take it freely. It's one of the reasons why we don't pass a collection plate here. We want people to understand that we give an invitation for people to be saved. Salvation is a free gift from God, not in any wise earned. And it says, whosoever will. All you need to do is believe what God said about you, that you're lost and bound for hell, and believe that Jesus' death on the cross, He as God paid the complete penalty for your sin. And then you call out to Him to save your soul. It's open to you. It's free. If you'll turn your eyes right now to Calvary, God the Son loves you so much that He suffered a bloody agony to pay the price of your sin. You trust Him, He'll save you forever. Let's bow for prayer. So our heads are bowed. We come to our prayer and invitation time. Would you humble your heart tonight and pray silently with me in this moment, young or old? Would you pray silently with me this moment? Dear Lord, I believe what I heard. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe I'm bound for hell. I believe there is no remedy for me in my own goodness. I do not believe a church can save me. I do not believe that my baptism can save me. But I do believe that God the Son paid the price for my sin when He suffered on the cross. And then He was buried, He rose again, He went into heaven, and He's coming again. I believe those things. Lord, please save me based on that belief and make me a new creature. Would you pray that prayer as we pray silently? And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with all your heart, would you raise your hand? Let me know before I pray. Just lift it up so I can see it. Preacher, I prayed that prayer as best I can. I do desire to be saved. I do believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd love to be saved tonight and know it. Would you raise your hand? Let me know. Is there someone? I see little ones. you really mean it, you can answer the invitation. Somebody will talk to you about your soul. Father in heaven, we pray for each person here. We pray for little ones that raise their hand. Jesus said, if they're like a little child, this may be the time when they will come to the Savior and know for sure that they are saved. I pray for older ones here. Lord, I know that it's a hard invitation. It's hard for people to humble themselves in front of a child, to let that person know, I haven't been saved. It's a whole lot better doing that than to be in eternal flames and you fool people while you're on earth. Lord, I pray that you might break hearts tonight and may answer this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.